What's up, gamers? Welcome to the Level 99 Daily Show for Monday, February 19th, 2018. Remember, this is your RPG podcast that releases every single weekday, and it's the show where I dive deep into the greatest genre in gaming. I'm your host, Philip. Let's get today's episode started. So welcome to another Monday of the show. I hope everyone's weekend was great. I actually took a couple days off last week, one for Valentine's Day and then the other Friday, just because I needed a night off. It was a pretty tiring week. So I'm back at it, and I should be able to get all the episodes that I need to out this week. So it's good to be back. We've got a lot to talk about. Today's main topic is going to be covering Monster Hunter World again. And as you will find out, this may be the last time we're covering it. But more on that later. First, let's jump into three pieces of news that I find noteworthy that have come out over the weekend. And the first of which is coming from rpgamer.com. And that is that Valkyria Chronicles has released a trailer highlighting the antagonists for the game. The article from RPG Gamer says, and I quote, after releasing a trailer for its primary protagonist, Sega released a new video focusing on Valkyria Chronicles 4's main antagonists. The Japanese trailer, viewable below, so go check it out, features the previously introduced characters, Chimera Levince, Claus Waltz, Forsetti Belger, Nicola Graf, and Chiara Ricino. Now, if you want to make fun of me for messing up those names, go right ahead, because I'm just shooting in the dark here. The article goes on to say, Valkyria Chronicles 4 returns the series to the setting and gameplay of the original trilogy, following members of the Edinburgh Army as they attempt to take the Imperial capital. The game is planned for release in Japan for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on March 21st, 2018, with a Switch version arriving in summer 2018. The game is also set to be released for those platforms in North America and Europe in 2018. So good stuff. If you're a Valkyria Chronicles fan, I have not jumped into that series, but I might with the release on Switch. The Switch is making me try a lot more RPGs than I have been able to play in the past, mainly because a lot of things are actually just coming to the Switch, so that's really cool. Second piece of news comes from NintendoLife.com, and that is that the game Yonder the Cloud Catcher Chronicles could possibly be heading to Switch, and that comes according to a German Amazon listing. The article from Nintendo Life states, while no official announcement has been made for a Switch version of the game, an Amazon Germany listing suggests that Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, may well be getting a release on the console very soon. Released last summer on other platforms, Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, is an adventure game developed and published by Prideful Sloth. Set in an open world environment, players must seek and collect magical creatures known as sprites on a journey of self-discovery. Throughout the game's adventures, you can also take part in various activities such as fishing, farming, and crafting. While it's best to wait for official confirmation of any details surrounding the release, Amazon's listing suggests that the game will be released on the 31st of March and includes this picture of the game's potential box art, and then the picture is below. So go check that out at NintendoLife.com. So what I want to know is, has anyone played this on a previous platform, either PC or PS4? Because I believe it released on those last year. Today actually was my first experience seeing this game. I missed it on the platforms from last year, and with the possible rumor from this article, the possible rumor of it coming to Switch was my first time viewing the trailer. And I gotta say, I did not even make it through the trailer the first time, and I knew this was a game that I wanted to play. From the art style to the look and the feel of the game, really to the atmosphere of the trailer, the way that they had the music in there and the voiceover and just how it sets up the story, I'm all in on Yonder. I'm all in on Yonder. So I want to know from you guys, comment below or tweet at me. If you've played Yonder, let me know. Is it good? And do I need to keep as close of an eye on it as I feel like I want to? So there you go. Yonder could be coming to the Switch in March. And last piece of news comes from RPGsite.net, and that is that Biomutant has a gameplay teaser trailer out, a new one. Once again, this is from RPGsite. It states, THQ Nordic has released a small new gameplay trailer for Biomutant, the upcoming open-world post-apocalyptic Kung Fu Fable RPG from Experiment 101. PC Gamer also interviewed the developer behind Biomutant, which exhibited this last weekend at PC Gamer Weekender in London. You can catch that interview here. And in this article, there are two videos linked. One is the gameplay teaser trailer, and the other is the developer interview. So go check it out, rpgsite.net. And that is that the Biomutant game has a new gameplay teaser trailer. This is another game that the trailer instantly sold me on it. I'm getting major Breath of the Wild vibes, but also maybe some Horizon Zero Dawn vibes, but it's from a, essentially Rocket Raccoon is your main character. So if you tell me I get to play Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild as Rocket Raccoon, that is a good enough combination for me. So go check out those trailers. That's going to be all the news of note this week from me. So now let's talk about the games that are coming out on Switch. And I told you last week I'm going to start doing this on Mondays. And because I have a useful site on hand, like switchrpg.com, I can do this for RPGs coming out on the Switch. If you know of websites that collect RPGs for other platforms like PlayStation, I play primarily on PlayStation and play almost nothing on Xbox. So, I know people are going to throw Lost Odyssey at me, but I mean, I know Xbox is not traditionally known as an RPG system. I know there are some exceptions, some exceptional exceptions, but I mainly cover RPGs for Switch and PlayStation. I don't even really get to the ones on PC. So if you know of a site out there that just houses and collects all of the games that have come and will come in the future to these platforms, let me know. Right now, I'm writing switchrpg.com pretty hard because the Switch is getting games every single week. And I'm primarily concerned with RPGs on this podcast. So the games releasing on the Switch this week in the RPG genre are, there's three of them. The first is Ace of Seafood. If you have not looked at this game or heard of this game, do yourself a favor, go to switchrpg.com and click on the Ace of Seafood page and watch the trailer. It won't take you long to see that this is a weird, unique experience. There are laser fish in it, so there you go. Second is Dragon Sinker, a retro-style turn-based RPG. I'll read you a snippet of the description from the eShop. It says, employing 8-bit graphics and sound that hark back to the golden era of RPGs, Dragon Sinker brings a visual and audio feast to the table of hungry gamers starving for the nostalgia of the great classics of yesteryear. Scour the world in search of new companions and collect more than 16 jobs, then lead up to 12 party members into turn-based battles and swap freely between three teams to take on a host of powerful foes. And if that were not exciting enough, character costumes also change according to their job, giving pixel lovers something even more to look forward to. So that sounds like a love letter to classic games. Go check it out. And then finally, Radiation Island is coming to the Switch. All of these are dropping, by the way, on the 22nd. That should be, what is today? Today is the 19th. So we're looking at Thursday? Yeah, all these things coming out on Thursday. Radiation Island is an open world survival crafting game with RPG elements. Essentially, you are taking on zombie bears and zombie people and zombie other things. It looks kind of like Rust meets other survival games with graphics that aren't quite as good and maybe not as big. So you can check that out. All those games are being tracked by SwitchRPG.com. So you can get all of the details on those from that website. Also, a quick side note for SwitchRPG. The Discord is growing daily, and I've been having a blast being in there, talking to the guys. There's a lot of love for RPGs and the history of RPGs and a wide breadth of tastes. That's really the coolest thing to me is not everyone in there loves Breath of the Wild. Not everyone in there loves Xenoblade Chronicles 2. But everyone respects everyone else's opinions, and we're able to have good discussions about them. So if you are an RPG fan, you're on the Switch, check out switchrpg.com, and then you should find the link to the Discord on there. The Discord server is phenomenal. So check it out. Check it out. All right, so let's move on to talk about a couple of things that I'm playing right now. I picked up Tales of Phantasia over the weekend after my last podcast. I got a used GBA and then a used copy of Tales of Phantasia for the GBA, and I'm playing through that game. Still pretty very early on. Now, some thoughts here. It's gorgeous. I love it. This is dipping my toe into the Tales series. So I'm excited. I know a little bit about more modern Tales games. I do have some friends who like the series and have been trying to get me into the series for a while. But I know very, very little about the history of the franchise. So the way that my brain kind of works is I like to start at the beginning of franchises. Even if I don't play every single game in order, although I would like to, I may not play every single game in order, but I do at least like to get a taste of where it all began. That way, when I play newer games, I have sort of that grounded foundation of this is where the first game started. This is where the franchise began. This is the tenets or the philosophies that began game one. These are the mechanics that began game one. That way I can see the evolution of those things. I can see what they did away with, what they've kept around, what the sort of staples of this franchise is. That's just the way that my brain works. So that's why I went with Tales of Phantasia. I may not go in order now, but I did want to start there. And I'm really enjoying it. Love the art style. Love the story so far. It's already taken a few twists and turns. The characters seem interesting, and the combat seems interesting. I gotta tell you, I was not expecting the sort of live action combat in a 2D side-scrolling style battlefield. I wasn't expecting that. Maybe that was a big thing back then. You know, back, I believe it released in 90, I can't remember if it was 93 or 95. So, forgive me. I don't know how popular that combat system was. I don't know if it was one of a kind. I'll have to do some research into it. I'm totally okay with telling you when I'm not sure about something. So, I don't know how unique that combat style was at the time. However, I gotta tell you, from what little I do know, I was impressed by it. I was impressed that they were able to do that. I thought it was pretty cool. I was expecting turn-based, like a Final Fantasy. So that was cool. That was cool to see. Now, what I've got to say about my time with Tales of Phantasia has actually nothing to do with the game at all. But I do want to kind of get something off of my chest, because I am very open, especially when I know nothing about a series. I'm very open to suggestions and opinions. And one thing that the Switch RPG Discord has been fantastic at is that there's some people in there that really love the Tales games. They really love the Tales games. They're passionate about it. It's very easy to see their excitement. And that got me really pumped up for the Tales series. And so whenever I'm entering a new franchise, I will ask players who've been playing that franchise for years, I'll ask them, what is a good starting point? Because I do genuinely want to know what's a good starting point. And then, you know, I take all of their suggestions into mind. But then, frankly, I want to do what I want to do. Now, I mean, I will take their suggestions into account. But I've already laid out to you why I like starting in the beginning. Okay? So, I say all that to say that what I don't like is when people then turn around and tell me that I'm doing it wrong. Now, the guys in the Switch RPG Discord, I've got to tell you, their response was the response that I love to have, because they told me several different games to start with, and then I come back a couple days later and I said, I'm starting with Tales of Phantasia because it's the first and that's the way I want to do it. Their response was, I love Tales of Phantasia. Here's the best version of that game to play. So their response was positive. It was, here, let me help you play the game that you wanted to start with. I want to give you some tips and suggestions on that. That is a great response from someone who really loves that series and really wants to get somebody in that series. So an example of someone with a bad response is actually somebody that I know, IRL, one of my friends, who has been trying to get me to play Tales games for a long time. His response when I said I started with Tales of Phantasia was, oh, you're doing it wrong. That's not the game you should have started with. You're going to hate that. That's not good. And I can't stand that response. Because number one, I didn't ask him what his opinion was on where I should start, because I kind of knew where it would go. And I knew that his response to me starting with the first game would be negative, because I know the way that his brain works is that things get better over time. Game Y is better than game A. So therefore, game A is not worthy of starting with, because you've got all of the good things that the series has built in game Y. So start with Y. That's not the way my brain works. I wanted to start with Tales of Phantasia. And so sure enough, that the moment that I told him that that's where I started, his response was negative. And it was, no, you're doing it wrong. I don't want to hear that. I mean, frankly, I don't care. I don't care if I'm doing it wrong. That's the way I wanted to do it. So I got to say, I really love being in the Switch RPG Discord, where people are encouraging and they're welcoming you into the series. And even though I didn't quite go with their suggestions, because I will actually go with their suggestions later, because like I said, I'm not going to go in order of the series. I just wanted to get Phantasia under my belt, see where the series began, and then I'll skip around to where I should. But even though I didn't go with their suggestion, their response was positive, it was welcoming, and I gotta hand it to them. I gotta say thank you. Thank you for that, because that makes me want to play more. That makes me want to listen more. So that was awesome and amazing. Am I alone there? Like, I feel like I'm not. But, I mean, don't you just kind of hate whenever somebody tries to tell you how you're supposed to game? And we're supposed to be playing these things to have fun, right? Like, we're playing this to have fun. I mean, the way that I play games is not going to be the same as the way that you play games. And to tell me that I'm playing the wrong way, especially in a single player, I'm playing privately setting, like the way that I'm gaming is not adversely affecting you in any way. We're not in a squad or a team in an FPS. And so, you know, I'm playing in an inferior way that's, you know, actively affecting you. So like, I just, that just kind of bothers me a little bit whenever somebody tells me I'm starting in the wrong place. Because it's not like I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm not picking up games as a thing today. I know how to research. I know how to read into things. I mean, me picking Tales of Phantasia was not just off the cuff on the whim. And I poured over the wikis for 3 days before I ever decided which game to start on. Like I said, I pulled people in the Discord. I mean, this was not a spur-of-the-moment decision. So don't tell me that I'm doing it wrong. All right, I got that off my chest now. But real quick, I do want to cover what I pitched at the beginning of the episode, and that's the Monster Hunter World. I talked about it last episode. I believe it was last Thursday. It was the last episode of The Daily Show. And I talked about my initial impressions of it. And I did wind up playing a pretty good bit over the weekend. A lot, in fact. And I gotta say, it was really, really starting to click with me. It was really starting to click. I was starting to really understand a lot of the mechanics and a lot of the hooks that people are loving in that game. So I was actually very disappointed whenever I hit a wall of sorts with playing the game. And it wasn't a difficulty thing. It had nothing to do with me not understanding something or me not actually ability-wise doing anything. But the wall took place, the wall happened, the wall that I hit was a game design decision. And I've talked about this before way back, I believe it was like the second or third episode I recorded of The Daily Show, so several weeks back. I talked about sort of how I game and how gaming fits into my life. A lot of it, the reason that the Switch really appeals to me is because, yes, the portability, but for me, it's the grab and go, sit down, pick up, super easy. You never break stride in your game, that sort of design and philosophy as a console. And for the most part, the PS4 has that philosophy too. You can always hit your PlayStation button to go back to the menu to put your game sort of on pause or asleep. Even if the game typically, like I said, even if the game doesn't have an actual pause feature, it puts the game asleep. You can put your PS4 in sleep mode. And then as soon as you boot it up, as long as the power didn't go out or you didn't unplug it between sessions, as soon as you boot it up, you're jumping right back in. That's something that a lot of modern consoles are catering to, right? The fact that you can put the game down, step away, come back, and you're right back in. But Monster Hunter World doesn't do that. There is no way, once you're out in the field and you're on a mission, there is no way to pause the game. And at first, that didn't seem like a huge deal. And that may not seem like a big deal to you. And I know and I understand that this is all just based on sort of how life is for me at the moment. I just don't have a lot of time to dedicate one sitting to, right? One sitting without either wanting to look away and watch TV or go put on some laundry or wash dishes or have to get up and go take the trash out or, you know, just regular life stuff, right? I just don't have a lot of time to sit in one stretch without being able to pause the game because of one thing or another. And I don't think that I'm the only person that has this. We all have busy lives. I don't think it's too much to ask that a game be able to pause. And I understand that Monster Hunter World is trying to be a sort of a always connected, always online experience so that if you need, while you're in your mission, to send off an SOS flare, someone can immediately jump in. Or when you start your quest, you can have friends jump into that quest. As long as they're in your session, they can just jump in whenever, right? So we have this always connected philosophy. I understand that, and I understand that that's probably what prevented any sort of pausing mechanism. So I understand why it's not in there for the most part. However, when my PS4 is not even connected to my Wi-Fi, and I'm not connected to the server because, once again, my PS4 is not connected to the internet. You know, it gives you sort of like this error message that you can't connect to the servers, and then asks you if you want to continue on a private offline server. You can still play the game offline. It's still fully functional offline. No, you can't send SOSs, and no one can drop into your game because you're offline. So why, when I'm offline and I'm not connected to the Wi-Fi, why can't I pause my game? Why, when I press the PlayStation button to take me back to the menu, my game is minimized, it's running in the background, why does my game continue to play? I'm in the middle of running after a monster. I'm in the middle of running after a monster, have to put the controller down, go to the kitchen. By the time I come back, I've pressed the PlayStation button. So in my mind, I think I'm okay. So as soon as I resume, I'm going to be running behind the monster. Instead, when I hit the PlayStation button, I'm back in my camp because I died. Because the monster killed me. Because as soon as I walked away, I stopped running, I stood there, and the monster turned around and killed me. So I'm back at my camp. I was like, oh, that's a little weird. I didn't realize this. Before this, I thought that there was pausing. It just, it never occurred to me that there's no pause. So I tried it again. Sure enough, died again. Tried it a third time, just to make sure. I was doing everything. I was opening my world map, because maybe if you open the world map, you know, things will stop. But it's just not the case. Going to the save screen, didn't do anything. Literally, like I said, minimizing the game and going back to the PlayStation menu does not stop your game at all. In my example here, my time and my mission eventually ran out. I got no rewards. And I got to tell you, I looked at that screen for a very long time. And I did a lot of thinking last night. And I love this game. I really, really, really enjoy this game. Like I said, it really started clicking with me too. I was really getting into it. But if a game doesn't really fit my lifestyle, then there's nothing I can do about it. I tried to make it fit. But it's got to be able to, I've got to be able to play it and enjoy it. And I got to tell you, last night was not enjoyable because I was actively losing progress and losing time investment. And that's the big thing, because this game is a time investment. And that's what it goes back to, right? Like I said, I can't invest a long stretch of time to a game. And this is requiring you to have at least 25 minutes to roughly 50 minutes, right? Now, I know some people who could kill monsters faster, right? That 25 minutes is fluid. But on average, it takes me about 25 to 30 minutes to hunt a good monster, right? That's taking my time, and that's struggling a little bit. I'm not the best. But still, that's 25 minutes as requiring of me. 25 minutes where I cannot for one moment pause the game. For me, that just doesn't fit. That doesn't fit with how I game right now. So as much as it pains me, Monster Hunter World, I've set it down and I don't know if I'm going to pick it up. I'll play it with friends. You know, when we hang out together, and that's what we can devote our time to. But other than that, I think I'm done with Monster Hunter World for now. And that disappoints me, but that's the way it is. Am I the only one that this affects? Did I just sort of scream into an echo chamber? Or do you also sort of need some sort of pausing function in a game? Once again, this is the reason that I love the Switch, because you can literally press the power button, power it down into sleep mode, and a game will stop. As long as, like I said, it's not an online connected game. I understand that whole side of things. A connected game, that makes sense. But an online but an offline experience, you can hit that power button, it powers down, it goes to sleep, you power it back up, there you are, you immediately jump back in. Do you need that from a game too? Because is that sort of what it takes to fit into your life, a grab and go type scenario? I want to hear from you. Let me know in the comments, or you can tweet at me. Does that make sense to you? Let me know. If you've listened this far, thank you so much for your support. I really, really appreciate it. Remember, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm at VaultRPG. I may not be super active on all those things, but you can definitely find me on Twitter and tweet at me. I'm at VaultRPG. Until next episode, go game your hearts out. I'll see you later.